Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas de DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12-3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
Leaders Credit Union, federally insured by the NCUA. It's a not-for-profit financial institution that's fully owned by members and operates for their benefit. That's the difference. And they offer it all. They offer checking accounts, savings accounts, loans, mortgages, credit cards, state-of-the-art technology to help you move forward. Everybody deserves a champion. LeadersCU.com/ESPN. Look into getting that Compass Black credit card. I'm a big fan of earning while I spend because I'm a spend. I got a big family. They're expensive. They don't care about that. They just want and want and want and want and want. And I just swipe and swipe and swipe and swipe. But at least with the Compass Black credit card with Leaders Credit Union, I can get 3% cash back on all those swipes when you sign up for direct deposit and 0% introductory APR for 15 months. No annual fees or limits. To learn more, visit leaderscu.com/ESPN. Visit their website for full details and disclosures. Leaders is your financial champion for life, federally insured by the NCUA. Kentucky swiped their Compass Black credit card on their roster. They did it 22 million times. Mm-hmm. That's the most expensive roster in the history of college basketball. And they stink. They lost last night at the Champions Classic. 83-66. They're 3-2 on the year. I don't know if they're going to fall out of the top 25, but it seems like it's very possible that they do that. Dangerously close, I would say, obviously. We're never in it last night. I watched the first half. I mean, Michigan State just like it almost feels like these teams are coming into these games against Kentucky knowing that, oh, y'all got the $22 million roster. We're about to find out. Now, in fairness to Kentucky, no Jaden Quaintance, who they paid a lot of money to get, and no starting point guard in Jalen Lowe from Pitt.
That's tough.
So they are down two guys. However, when you spend $22 million, you're supposed to be able to overcome these things. Kentucky was the favorite in this game, and Michigan State dominated from start to finish. That's just the truth. You know, Kentucky allowed a team in Michigan State that made 1-3 against Arkansas for the entirety of the game to make 11 of them. In this one, 11 of 22 from three, 32 of 64 from the floor for 50%. I mean, Michigan State just said, hey, we're going to come in here, we're going to punch you in the mouth, and what are you about to do about it? The answer, nothing. And after the game, like Mark Pope, who I think we both expressed doubts about when he took over for Cal.
Yeah, can't say he didn't have an impressive first year, though.
Definitely did. And then I think we kind of laid off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But he's talking really strange. Like he's saying that something happened before the Louisville game. He said last night, we won't fail this season. We've just failed up until today, but until we get there, we're really going to struggle. That's my job. I'm doing it poorly, but I won't do it poorly much longer. Jason, can you feel it in your heart to feel sympathy for the $22 million roster?
No, I think what's amazing is that, Izzo's only got 3.5. Did you see the graphic that says his roster is $3.5 million? That's hard to believe.
No, I heard it's more than that.
Got to be.
Whose graphic was that?
Hoop Herald.
Yeah, I've
$22 million for Kentucky, $3.5 million for Izzo. What is the difference? Is he over $10 million or is he?
No,
under?
I've heard eight. I heard yesterday. I heard eight.
I mean, I figured Tom Izzo would be working with more than
3.5 would be less than what Memphis is getting, and Michigan State has a huge booster in Matt Ishbia.
Right, the owner of the Suns.
Yeah, he would not let them have less than $3.5 million in NIL. That would
be outrageous. I mean, how serious are they with eight?
But yeah, I mean, eight is what, you know, eight is you know, not as high as certainly a lot of programs. Less than Louisville. It's
Izzo's less on transfers and all that, though. Right?
They really didn't bring in anybody.
These are going to be guys that you're paying, your guys.
Like, right? it's kind of an old school approach up there, because if you look at their team, most of those guys, like Fears, Cooper, Kohler, they're returners.
Mm-hmm.
We have this returner conversation all the time. Like, they brought in Cam Ward, who's a freshman. They Cohen Carr, returner. Trey Fort, transfer. That's about it. They brought in, like, one guy that's the actual transfer in Trey Fort.
Yeah. You can keep costs down, only bringing in, you know, a smaller amount, a smaller group, especially one guy.
He's still, like, now, he did lose a guy. He did lose Trey Holloman to NC State and Will Wade, who paid Holloman a bunch of money. But, like, honestly, it is amazing how he does it. He expects you to stay out of loyalty to Michigan State and him.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, he's been successful with that.
Probably the last of a dying breed that can do
most
that.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Purdue on some level has that going.
Absolutely.
Because they only have $8 million for their roster.
You pointed that out. It's a surprise. You got two All-Americans.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yep.
You're only paying $8
million. I mean, it speaks to the kind of kid that you can get, you know.
They could be charging.
Yeah, like ideally, we can relate this to Memphis. It's not All-American level, but Curtis Givens, Julius Stedford, Memphis loyalty, like, let's do that. Let's bank on that instead of,
Jello Jackson, maybe Fred Smith.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly right. So,
With these transfers, they got Memphis ties.
Yeah.
Who else is out there?
From Memphis?
Yeah, you'll never see Trey Richmond. He's doing too well.
No.
But who else? What other Memphis guys?
KJ Tenner is at Murray State, but he's locked and loaded there.
Okay.
I'm
scouting.
There's guys.
What we can't keep doing is getting the American All-Stars.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
The mercenaries who come in, they may fit, they may not, you know.
And as we see, these Memphis products come back with heart.
But, you know, the issue with going the high school route, though, is that those guys will struggle, you know. I mean, Trey Kaufman Wren's an All-American right now, and he played as a freshman, and he was not good.
Yeah.
Now, that's the Big Ten, but I'm just saying, like, there are risks with going the only high school. I mean, there's no great answer, honestly. Like, I hate to say it, like, you kind of just have to set it up and then just have a constant sort of turnstile of high school guys.
That's
that
how
stay.
You build the core.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to have to,
you know,
be formed over time.
But, like, yeah, there has to be a ground zero moment.
Right.
And that may be where Memphis is going. Like, they may be.
I mean, that's the way you do it in this day and age, where he's going to have to do it and save a penny.
Yep. Yep.
You get those guys that are loyal to Memphis and you tell them, come on home.
Exactly. But anyway, Kentucky getting belt to ass last night. Duke also won, just for your records.
Yeah, they're good. Like, might win it all.
Yeah.
But we've said that before about them. Who was it? Houston last year got them? Yeah, Flag got, yeah.
Yeah, very controversially, I might add. But, yeah, they're damn good.
They're loaded. Boozer's awesome. Rebounds.
But you're a big Caden Boozer guy.
Just that he looks like he can be their point guard.
Yeah.
I didn't know if he was capable. I just know more about Big Boozer.
Right.
Now, we have Jaren. You can't draft him, right?
They would duplicate, yes. He's a four. Cam Boozer's a four.
See?
But
by that time, you've already shipped. John has already shipped Jaren. We heard it in the first hour.
You can't not. You have to draft Cam Boozer. If you have a, you know, pick where you can draft Cam Boozer, you have to draft him. Now, you asked me earlier about who I would want. The answer is A.J. DeBanza. No doubt about it. That dude is a killer. Absolute killer. I watched the second half of that, my BYU-UConn game. I'm like, all right, let me see. Because they were down by like 15 at the half or something like that. BYU was. I'm like, let me see what this kid's about. Bro, this kid went on to have a second half performance for the ages on an NBA arena. He got BYU all the way back within three. Like, he was making threes. He was hitting A&1s. He was doing like, ooh, buddy. And that's against UConn.
Yeah.
You know, that's a real program with a real coach. He was about to be the coach of the Lakers, as you remember.
Fake.
Some say fake. Probably was. But the point is that dude definitely is the number one pick. Like, we can cut that conversation out. It ain't Darren Peterson. It ain't Cam Boozer. It is A.J. DeBanza.
Darren Peterson.
It is A.J. DeBanza, brother. No question.
No, it's not Boozer.
25-6 against UConn.
How tall is Peterson? 6'5"?
He's a combo, 6'4", 6'5". I think the fact that he's not a true point guard hurts him.
Cool.
He is a combo. You know, and those guys are like, you can find them. I'm not, Derek Peterson's cold. Like, he's a really, really good player. I would be excited to have him in Memphis, believe me. Like, Ja, Derek Peterson, Cedric Howard. Ooh, titillating.
What about Ja Dibanston Coward?
Titillating. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying either one of those guys. But you might move Cedric Howard to the two. With the Banza.
You can do it.
You know, I mean, that's, and you'd be huge.
He can play 2-3.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Right? Interchangeable.
Yeah.
For him.
But I'm AJ DeBanza. I don't know if there's much doubt about, debate about it. If there is, I am absolutely, like, some places, like Cam Boozer going one with AJ DeBanza going as low as three. Let's see, the most recent ESPN mock draft. This is from Jeremy Wu yesterday. He has Derek Peterson going first to the
Nets.
That's
what I saw from The Athletic, was Peterson going.
And then the Wizards drafting A.J. DeBanza second.
Right,
see,
and I saw Boozer third.
Flip those.
I
would flip those.
That's the way I had seen it mostly. That 1-2-3 right there. Boozer third.
Yes.
DeBanza second.
Just because not only do A.J. DeBanza show the offensive like ability, like we know defensively his ceiling is super high as well with his length and his athleticism. So it's like both sides. Whereas with Derek Peterson, it's like, I know he's going to bring offense and he'll be great at running a team in that way, but I'm less convinced about his defensive impact. AJ's going to give it to you both ways. Pause. But anyway, that's where I'm at. That's where this GM is.
Cool.
All right. I encourage
So Peterson and Jod defensively.
I
got to have a Coward, and then your other guys better be off.
Now, I do think Peterson has a pretty good motor defensively. Like, I don't think he's like a liability by any stretch of the imagination, but he's only like 6'4", 6'5". I mean, so that's the issue.
It's done. Dibanza.
I need
wrist select.
I need Dibanza. Size and wingspan. You know what I mean? That's what we're doing in 2025. Anyway, watch the BYU game.
Oh, I will. I plan to now.
I need you to do some scouting.
Well, just let me get through this. These next six for Grizzlies.
All right.
Because we're going to stay locked in if we win four.
Top 25 matchup for them on Friday against Wisconsin. 3:00. That'll be as soon as we get done with the show. You can go pick up CJ. Maybe y'all can go to like a little watering hole. You can watch the future number one pick of the Memphis Grizzlies, AJ DeBanza.
Okay.
I think that sounds like a great date.
It does.
I truly do. All right. We'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Stick around. J&J, 90 China FMBS. Steven Ruiz writes about the NFL for The Ringer. Ranks quarterbacks as well. We'll get to all of it. He's nice enough to join us now. Steve, what's going on, man? Thanks for the time, as always.
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
Just like everybody thought before the season started, Drake May and Bo Nix stand alone at the top of the NFL. I guess they don't really stand. They stand together at 9-2, at the NFL's leading 9-2 record. What do we make of that? Bo Nix and Drake May.
Oh, man, I don't know. I know what to make of Drake May having the Patriots at the top. I think the Bo Nix conversation is a little more complicated. But Drake May, I mean, I'm usually a guy that likes to pick apart these quarterbacks who have this surprise success. But with him, it's very hard to pick it apart, whether you're watching it, whether you're going through the numbers, whether you're looking at team success. Like, he's legit. Now, Bo Nix, now that's an entirely different conversation that I'm willing to have, too.
Yeah, well, and honestly, I'm oversimplifying it, right? Like, I'm kind of coming at this like I started watching the NFL yesterday. If anything, it's not about those quarterbacks with those teams. I mean, obviously, Drake May has played at a spectacular level, but you know, it's a combination of schedule and a lot of different things with the Patriots, and with the Broncos, it's more of a multi-phase approach. Of those teams, Broncos, Pats, who's more real?
Oh, that's a good question. Like, I part of me wants to lean towards the Patriots because I do prefer the quarterback, but when you look at that Broncos defense, the coaching staff, and I like Vrabel, but Sean Payton's obviously won a Super Bowl and is more directly involved in play calling. I kind of want to take the Broncos there. I think they have more around the quarterback position than the Patriots do.
In terms of, you look around the league, and Drake May, young quarterback, second year, another one of those guys is Caleb, and I remember having you on last time, and we sort of talked about, you know, what needs to happen, you know, what you hope come, you know, Ben Johnson can pull out of him. How do you think he's doing now at this point in terms of what needed to happen for Caleb? I was, you know, you nailed it. He still has this tendency to want to hold on to the ball too long in an effort to make a play, but we're seeing less of it. And you wrote that, and I agree with you. Just what have you made of the job Ben Johnson's doing trying to make Caleb Williams into the franchise quarterback the Bears need?
Yeah, you can definitely see him being more judicial on when to do that. I think he's still holding on to the ball, but he's not taking sacks. Like, he's taking sacks at a below league average clip. And you go back to last year, obviously, he was like on a historic pace over the first eight games. Yeah. So I think he's just gotten more comfortable, or he's honed his ability to escape pressure more in his second season, which is something we see with quarterbacks all the time, especially like these super physically gifted ones. Like, I remember Lamar Jackson watching in 2018 and being like, when this guy realizes, like, and gets acclimated to the speed of everyone else and realizes how much faster he is than everyone else, he's just going to explode the next year. And that kind of happened. And I think you're seeing that in a different way with Caleb, where he knows when he can get out of a sack and when he can't get out of a sack. And I think he had to do that test. He had to figure it out for himself last year. And the Bears gave him a really crappy situation, which in a weird way made it easier for him to kind of figure out what he can get away with and what he can't get away with, because he was in those chaotic situations all the time. But yeah, I agree with you. I think he's more committed to the structure of the offense. And I think it makes sense because the structure of the offense is better. When you're playing in a crappy offense that's dysfunctional, it makes sense for a young guy to kind of want to break out of that structure more often than not. But now you can see him playing on time more. You could see his trust, and you could see it, especially when he's throwing over the middle of the field. There's not that hesitation any longer. It's like in an instant, and that ball is getting there in an instant too, because he throws it so hard. I think he's on the right track right now.
You've written this week about J.J. McCarthy. Obviously, he played, you know, we're talking about the Bears, like, he played absolutely as bad as you could play as a starting quarterback in the NFL for the first three quarters. You know, came alive, much like the first meeting in that fourth quarter, had a dot to Jordan Addison there, and amazingly had his chance his team in position to win, you know, with a minute or so left in the game. But what do you do with him? They spent a premium draft pick on him. He has mostly not looked the part at all. You know, I don't know if they were exaggerating the extent of the injury. There were certainly rumblings about that. But, like, what do you do with J.J. McCarthy if you're the Minnesota Vikings organizationally?
I mean, I'm not even trying to be harsh on the guy. I think you got to bench him. And I think you got to bench him until he works through his issues. We talk so much, and we just did it with Caleb. We're talking about, like, oh, does he adhere to the structure of the offense? Is he going through his progressions? Is he comfortable in the pocket? With J.J., it's, like, simple. It's like the guy can't throw a football right now. He can't reliably put a football where he wants the football to go. And it's a mechanical issue, and it's not one that we couldn't see coming. Kevin O'Connell was talking about it at the beginning of the year. He's talking about it during the offseason. J.J. McCarthy learning different pitches, like being able to throw the fastball, being able to throw the looping pass over the second level of the defense, and he just can't do it right now. So with him, I think you got to give him a break and give him a breather. It's almost like the Bryce Young situation, where it's like, this is too much for him right now. He's overwhelmed, and by playing him, we're going to do him a disservice. I know they want to probably save face. They probably want him to avoid embarrassment by getting benched so soon into this, but I do think it's best for everybody involved, including the team. Like, you have to think about the rest of the offense. Look at, like, a guy like Justin Jefferson, who I know there's been, like, one or two plays where it looked like he stopped on a route, but the guy's still blocking his ass off. He's still, you know, running routes hard. He's still trying to catch the football. And then you're giving him this quarterback who just doesn't allow him to be the player that he could be with better service.
Was I wrong, Stephen? Because I was there at one point where I was writing off Bryce Young, saying, you know, even despite the situation, realizing, well, there's a lack of weapons there, certainly to start, and you look at the coaching situation there, it just looks like night and day. He's coming off a franchise record. You mentioned it, you know, some guys have success. Maybe some of us have a knee-jerk reaction, tend to go overboard. I'm just wondering where you are on, and I hesitate, is it a resurgence we're seeing with Bryce? What's working so well?
I wouldn't call it that. I think he had a great game. I think it was probably his best game. Like, even looking past the stats, just the quality of his throws and decision making. But still, even in that game, there are one or two plays where, I mean, he could have thrown even more touchdowns, and he just doesn't have that physical talent that you expect from a top five pick, a top one pick in his case. And 2 weeks ago, last week, he had the big game against Atlanta. The week before that might have been his worst game.
He was bad, right? Yeah, a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that was the game where I'm a Panthers fan, so I'm like in those discussions. I've never been sold on Bryce Young, but even last week, I think Panthers fans started to be like, all right, it's getting late into this. This is year three. We have to decide if we're going to pick up his fifth-year option, which is a guaranteed $27 million in 2027. for me, one game against a Falcons team that's kind of in a weird place. I know they have good defensive statistics, but they're not a great team. That doesn't really sell me. It doesn't make up for the fact that he has like 25 starts of being one of the worst first-round picks we've ever seen in the NFL.
I'm happy for him, but I'm glad I hesitated with you to say resurgence. You don't believe it.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're ready to move on.
Hey, I was ready to move on before they even announced the pick, to be honest with you. 5'10 quarterbacks in the end. This is a sport played by the biggest, strongest, fastest people in the world. It matters at a certain point. And when you watch him play, even in his best games, there's 2-3 times a game where you're like, yeah, that's what happens when you put a regular body in an NFL game.
But Steven, it's not about the size of the dog. It's about the size of the fight of the dog. You know what I mean?
No. A 400-pound defensive lineman, the size of the dog does matter.
That's what, you know, when you're a small person, that's what your parents always tell you, right? Like, it's not about the size, but you know, it's like, yeah, really, the size of the dog usually tends to matter in these situations. All right, I was looking at the top 10 of your rankings, and I was like, all right, what part of the top 10 is my man Geno Smith in this week? I got not one, obviously, but I was like, all right, two? And then I just kept scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. I was scrolling for 3 hours, Steven, and before I got to Geno Smith, who I believe has taken the largest fall in your quarterback rankings from week one to week 12.
Wow.
How has this been such a disaster?
Oh, man, where do I start? I think I start with Pete Carroll hiring his son. That should have been the red flag for me, hiring his son as offensive line coach. I should have realized this was not a serious operation once that happened. There's no way in hell that Pete Carroll saw the pool of candidates and just so happened to decide that my son is the most qualified offensive line coach in the NFL and the most qualified for this job. Because I really think that's where everything starts. The offensive line is god-awful. It's terrible. They can't run the football. They can't protect Geno Smith. But then on top of that, Geno Smith, I do think, has lost something. I don't think he's lost as much as it appears based on his stats compared to his time in Seattle. But I do think that he's not as accurate as he was the last couple of years, which was really his superpower. And he's always been a guy that's been unable to elevate what's around him. I think he has been a guy that's going to be able to take advantage if you give him a good team. But you put him behind this offensive line with an OC and Chip Kelly that I think is out of his depth still. A receiving core that, I mean, Tyler Lockett is running routes, and he's been on three different teams in this calendar year. It's a bad situation all around. But I do think when you watch and you just focus on Geno, he isn't helping matters much. I think his accuracy has fallen off, and I think his decision-making as he's continued to press and press has also fallen off.
Are you seeing any signs of drop-off? I mean, he's playing some of the best football of his career. I guess you could argue that he's playing the best football of his career at 37 years old. With these older guys, and we've seen them, Aaron's getting there. We see it with Russ Wilson, saw it with Tom at the very end. They don't want to be hit. We're not seeing that from Stafford at 37. I guess I'd frame the question to you like this. How many more years of this level of player, maybe not exactly this high, I mean, he's MVP level, at this point, but how many more years of good Matthew Stafford do you think he's got in him?
It's amazing.
It is.
I mean, we spent the whole offseason talking about this guy's back, and I think at the beginning of the offseason there was talk about the Rams trading him, and now he looks as good as he's ever looked. I feel like there are these aliens sometimes where they defy the age curves. Like Adrian Peterson was one of those guys. I think Derrick Henry has been one of those guys up until this year.
Yeah.
Obviously Tom and Aaron Rodgers won MVP like late 30s. With him, I'm amazed at how good he's able to be in this age of the NFL where it seems like every top quarterback besides him is able to run around and evade pressure.
Yep.
And the thing I said with him is he buys time in a different way. I think those quarterbacks extend plays. He kind of speeds plays up for the defense with his – like there's a guy in the throwing lane and I don't have time to hold on to the ball or I'm going to get sacked. What does he do? He does a no-look pass and moves the guy out of the throwing lane with his mind. Or he throws a sidearm pass around someone. Or he throws off his back foot. Like, he's just a special, special player. And it's amazing to me. I can't even answer your question. I don't know. I think as long as the Rams don't put him behind a terrible offensive line, which they have done over the past couple of years when he has looked bad, then I think he's going to be able to do this forever. I just think when you have it, you have it. It's almost like Nolan Ryan
was still throwing like 170 pitches in a game when he was 40 and still throwing perfect games. That's when you have throwing talent, I guess it just sticks with you.
Yeah. We'll see what it looks like this week. But, it has been quite remarkable to watch. Talking to Stephen Ruiz from The Ringer, writes about the NFL ranks quarterbacks. We talked about the biggest dropper. The biggest riser has been Daniel Jones. And it's an absolutely massive game, you know, this week for them coming off of a bye against the Chiefs. He has come back down to earth a little bit the last 2 weeks, but it's undeniable that he has put this Colts team in the contention conversation. Do you believe they are in the contention conversation with Daniel Jones?
I think they are because of the state of the AFC right now. We said it at the beginning, we have Bo Nix's Broncos and Drake May's Patriots at the top. I think when that's the case, then yes, if we had a full-strength Ravens team, like a Chiefs team that looked like a Super Bowl contender, a Bills team where you're not asking questions about the offense every other week, I would say no. But in this NFL this year, I do think they have a chance, and I think they have a chance because the offense isn't built around Daniel Jones being great. If it was built around Daniel Jones being great, it wouldn't look like this. I think it's an offense that allows him to look better than he usually is, and when they fall behind and they get into a negative game script, then you start to see the old Daniel Jones pop out. But I do think this Daniel Jones season is just proof that these guys don't change meaningfully that much. Like, even like a Baker Mayfield, he's largely the same player he was in Carolina. He just had a bad system fit. He had a bad offense around him. He had bad receivers around him. You put him in an offense that makes sense to them, then they play like this. So I think with Jones, I think he was always capable of playing at this level, maybe not like the statistical production level, but I think he was capable of looking like an above average quarterback, and we're starting to see that. And in 2025, if you have that, a good offensive line and a good run game, and then a solid defense, I think you have a chance to go on a run in the playoffs. Would I pick them to win three games in January? Hell no. But I do think they could beat anybody in the playoffs if they get there.
Yeah, it's a weird year, man, because it's like I want to, you know, it feels like a default year for the Chiefs, or it should be, but they're sitting here at 5-5. You know, like, if you look at their schedule, you know, they're probably going to win like their next five or six. But has it been, when you look at Kansas City, I mean, it hasn't been about Mahomes, right? I mean, what's the diagnosis in terms of why they're sitting here at 500?
I think it's a lack of talent. You know, it's tough. Like, especially, they're not only losing guys, but I think you look at their drafts the last couple of years, even their hits have been lowercase H hits. They haven't been capital H hits. They've been solid. Like a Nick Bolton is a guy that you resigned to a second contract because he was a solid player for you. You're not signing him to a second contract because he's one of the best players at his position. George Karlaftis, another one. They have a bunch of those guys that are like B-plus talents, but outside of Mahomes right now, I guess you could throw Chris Jones in there. Where are the blue chip talents? I don't really see any, and you need talent at the end of the day to win a Super Bowl, and I just think they lack that. And you're seeing it not only on offense, but also on defense. And that's what I would be more concerned about, is this Chiefs defense just isn't what it was when Spags was like pitching gems in the playoffs and they were going on these Super Bowl runs. And then you have the more flawed version of the offense that has made the Super Bowl in the past, but it's been supplemented by that defense, which it's not there anymore. And then I would also put this on Andy Reid to a certain extent, because that offense just, it hasn't evolved. It hasn't found answers as the league's defenses have found answers to stop them. They haven't really countered since then. Their counters so far over the past 3 years has been, hey, Pat, can you bail us out on 3rd and 10 by scrambling around or throwing with your left hand or doing something crazy?
Yep.
And I think you're seeing that start to take the toll on Patrick Mahomes. I've seen him throw interceptions these last 2 years that he wasn't throwing as this raw rookie quarterback or second year quarterback out of Texas Tech. Like, he's making mistakes, and I think it's just that burden of having to make a play every single time they fall behind the chains.
Yeah. Steven, man, this is always great stuff, man. Appreciate
fun
the time
stuff,
as always.
Thank
and
you,
by the way, congrats on not just the win over Marquette, but it seems like Baba is going to commit to your Terps later today. So congrats
I can't wait.
Yeah, congrats on the run there with old Buzz.
I was down on Buzz in the first half of the Marquette game, but I'm going to the game tonight, so I'll be there to support him in person.
There you go. Lots of good stuff, man. Appreciate you
as always.
Steve.
All right, thank you guys.
Yep, yeah, Stephen Ruiz, big Maryland fan, big college basketball fan, and big Maryland fan. I've said the story. That's how we connected, because he watches Field of 68, and you know, we connected through there. So anyway, yeah, Baba, I can't pronounce his last name. Ola Dutune. I'm sorry.
I don't trust you.
But he is a. I didn't say that name right. Either way, I'm sure. But top 10 player. top 10 player in the country from Silver Spring, Maryland.
Very so nice.
The local kids
kept
still
home.
Staying home.
Yeah.
Nice to see every now and then. You know what I mean? All right, we will come back and wrap this up on a Wednesday. Stick around, J&J 90.5.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas de DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12-3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
ESPN. You got a lot of spending coming up. Make sure you do it with the Compass Black Card from Leaders Credit Union. That's how you can earn while you spend. Enjoy 3% cash back on every purchase when you sign up for direct deposit. 0% introductory APR for 15 months. Doesn't get any better than that. No annual fees. No limits. You're a no-limit soldier with the Compass Black Credit Card. Learn more. Visit leaderscu.com/ESPN. Visit their website for full details and disclosures. Leaders is your financial champion for life, federally insured by the NCUA. All right, we're just preparing, man. We're preparing. There's no doubt about that. We are preparing for tomorrow.
A shot at number one.
A shot. A free swing. We stand at the plate.
Also a second round NCAA tournament matchup against TCU for the Memphis women's soccer program. That is also tomorrow. Yeah, don't forget.
No, it's not here, though. It's there, right?
It's down at TCU. Yeah. It is. They're the 2 seed, I believe.
Yeah. All right. So it's a big day tomorrow.
It is. I mean, NCAA tournament time.
Now, if the season continues on this pace for both teams, it will end with 2 L's tomorrow, right? Now, that's what we've been conditioned to believe in this particular sports season. Maybe the Memphis women's soccer team can change that. It's been down to them, basically, for all of this. I'll be interested. I don't know what the number is on Purdue and Memphis. I would assume it's going to be 17.5. I don't think it's been released yet. It might be out there on DraftKings or something like that, but I haven't seen it like widely available just yet. So I'll be looking for that one just to see, you know, what that number exactly looks like. But hey, and we'll talk about it tomorrow. You know, you got nothing to lose.
No. But you're not gonna win. The win is gonna be in if you can find, you know, 5 to 7 players who can give you effort for 40 minutes. Penny Hardaway came away from the last game, just singling out 2 for doing that.
Yeah.
And Thedford and Majok. So against the number one team, look, if the money's not gonna get you up and ready to play, and the Memphis basketball speeches aren't gonna work, how about a shot at number one? Aren't you guys all competitors? Like whether it's Doug McDaniel, whether it's Zach Davis, you're getting a chance here at one. You know, let's see the best you got. Surely the competitor in you, the effort level will be up. And I think if you come out of this with, you know, that having happened for 5, 6, 7 dudes based on where they were, that's a win for Penny Hardaway going forward.
Sure.
And something you can certainly build on when you likely play Wake Forest.
I was going to say DraftKings has it 14.5.
There you go.
Which is smaller than I would have expected.
Yeah, I mean, KenPom hadn't run it up either. It was at 12. Mm-hmm. And we all thought it'd be much higher in terms of the actual number.
Right.
The spread, but I don't know. I still would expect.
Yeah, you expect Purdue to win, but
with the level of efficiency that they run it at.
Can you show a level of competitiveness?
UNLV wasn't efficient at all.
No.
They just out-hustled and played you. Well, Purdue's going to do that part and be efficient.
Correct.
With all Americans. It could get ugly.
Yes.
But hopefully you come out of it knowing that which guys are going to fight the rest of the season for you. That's what Penny Hardaway's got to find out, and you do it against the number one team in the country.
Absolutely right. It's all on the line tomorrow, except not. It's not on the line. It's just a crack. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Stephen Ruiz for joining us on the show. Thanks to Norton Hurd IV as well. Always good to catch up with him. Jeffrey and Company up next. Don't you dare miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're going.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora a solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.